The federal government is open for business today, thanks to the budget deal worked out between the White House and congressional Republicans. But that deal may only be a precursor to the budget fight yet to come. The government is about to hit the congressionally mandated limit on borrowing known as the debt ceiling. The White House says not raising that ceiling risks a catastrophic economic failure. Republicans say, though, they want to see real cuts in spending first. New York Times financial reporter Benjamin Applebaum joins us from Washington. Benjamin, welcome back to Here and Now.
Thank you very much.
Well, this idea of a debt ceiling sounds like something that economists debate. Why should we care about the federal debt ceiling?
Well, you know, as the White House has said, the consensus among economists is that failing to take this step would be pretty catastrophic. It would be an announcement by the United States that it cannot repay all of its debts. And that would mean that the government would see much higher borrowing costs. Individuals would see much higher borrowing costs. Federal debt is kind of the bedrock certainty of global financial markets. The idea that the U.S. will repay its debts has never seriously come into question. And if it did come into question, it would be the equivalent of sort of a massive earthquake under our financial markets.
So basically, how is this ceiling or this limit on what we can borrow, which is what I'm assuming the ceiling is, how is it determined?
It is determined by Congress, and they've moved it up repeatedly over the years. It's basically the total amount that the government can borrow. And what's important to understand about the debt ceiling is that we're not going to hit it because we're adding new programs to the budget or taking on new expenses or liabilities. We're going to hit it just because of the borrowing we need to do to pay the interest on the debts we've already incurred. And so Congress, at fairly regular intervals, even if the budget itself is not increasing, needs to raise the debt ceiling to accommodate what are called the debt service payments, the interest payments that the government needs to make the investors who are funding our government.
If Congress can keep raising it, then why bother having a limit? And can't Congress just raise it again in this case?
Well, they certainly could raise it again. And a lot of people wonder why they bother playing this game. The answer, in part, is the symbolism of the fiscal discipline it seems to impose on the government. Saying that there's a maximum amount that we can borrow plays well with voters. It also has been the case that some conservatives have hoped that the debt ceiling would function exactly as it is about to function, as an excuse for a broader conversation about our fiscal policy, about how much money we borrow to run our government.
Now, Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner has said we're going to hit the limit by May 16th at the latest. Isn't that right? And so then if nothing happens by then and it's not raised, then specifically what would we see?
Well, what we would see immediately is that the law actually makes a number of provisions for the government hitting the debt ceiling. It creates a number of emergency measures that can be taken that the government estimates would buy about another 8 weeks of space. So on May 16, you really wouldn't see anything. Behind the scenes, Treasury would be scrambling to clear a little bit more room and borrow a little bit more money under those emergency provisions. What would happen in about the middle of July, however, if nothing changed between now and then, is that the government would run out of money to pay investors. It would have to announce in some form that it was either, you know, radically cutting spending by just unthinkable amounts, or that it was going to default on some of its obligations.
So could then we be talking, in a sense, really, about another government shutdown almost?
You know, most economists regard this as just an unthinkable event. They just can't quite get their minds around the possibility that the federal government would do this. And in fact, what we've heard from both parties is a recognition that this shouldn't happen and can't be allowed to happen. House Republican leaders have said that, Democrats have said that. And so while in theory what you would see at that point would be sort of a cataclysm of a government shutdown, in practice, one shouldn't overstate the potential that could happen. It sure sounds like everyone knows that would be a catastrophe, and because it's an avoidable catastrophe, it's a little bit unthinkable.
Now, part of this is going to be the background for President Obama's speech this week, where he's expected to talk about his plans for controlling the long-term deficit. Any ideas about what we might hear from the president this week?
The president is hoping to lay out a vision that contrasts with the plan announced by House Republicans, Republican Paul Ryan, which amounted to a very aggressive series of cuts in what are called entitlements, the social safety net. The president is going to argue that part of the answer here needs to be an increase in taxes, particularly for the wealthiest Americans. He's going to talk about himself as one of those Americans. And that part of it needs to be as well more modest cuts in the safety net and in government spending.
Hmm. Do you think we'll also hear about Social Security or perhaps Medicare, which was part of Mr. Ryan's plan?
I think those are the key components of the social safety net. It's not clear how detailed the president intends to be, but when we talk about cuts in the social safety net, we're inevitably talking about those programs, about government health care and about retirement benefits in the form of Social Security.
New York Times financial reporter Benjamin Applebaum, thanks very much for speaking with us.
My pleasure.